desire your prayers this morning. I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. It is truly a privilege to serve the Lord. Well, let's think of it the alternative. If you weren't serving the Lord, who would you be serving? I've been talking some with the young people in Sunday school about the children of Israel and their journeys being delivered from Egypt as a type and shadow of being delivered from sin, and then wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years and ultimately made it to the land of Canaan. But it was quite a journey. You know, there's some of those, you think of the Joshua and the Calebs. They were the two that were old enough. They remembered what it was like going out spying the land of Canaan. And they came back saying, "We are well able to conquer the giants." And the other 10, they was like, "No, there's no way. We can't do that. You know, where's grasshoppers before the giants?" But you know, that's what it appears like in life sometimes. We can look at the challenges before us. And you know, it is good that we consider that, yes, we are small. But when we consider whose side we are on, then is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too big for the Lord? You see, Joshua and Caleb caught that vision. And they persevered. And they made it to the other side. They made it to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the land of Canaan. Well, that's not my message this morning, but it's laying a foundation that it's one of those things that, in fact, we've covered it the last two Sundays. Some, it was a part one and part two series. And I wouldn't call this morning's message a part three, but it goes along with the thoughts. But the first two messages I preached the last two Sundays anyway, we were covering the basic principles of salvation, that we can't survive on our own. It has to take the Lord. That there's nothing we can do of our own. We talked about King Asa and the steps, the formula for victory. And the bottom line through all of that was his trust and confidence in the Lord, not in himself and not in anyone else. And then we talked last Sunday about the fall of King Asa. And when he fell from the grace of God, you could say, and ultimately died with the disease, and he's having wars the last few years of his life, and he wasn't at peace, but the reason for that was he trusted in himself, you see, and not in the Lord. He didn't seek the Lord, so he failed. He was defeated. But this morning I have a little different thought, but it still relates to it. It's a, you could say, a salvation message. I'll write the title on the board here. I've written on the board, walls of salvation. And I actually want to start with another Old Testament story about another king. And we'll read some verses in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. But this is a story of King Hezekiah. And I'm not going to go into all the details. We're going to pick up basically where King Hezekiah was a good king. And he desired to serve the Lord. But along the way, he was faced with some challenges. You know, isn't that just like life, living for the Lord? Seems like, you know, especially when you first get saved. I remember, you know, things seemed to just kind of glide along for a while. And wasn't. But then here came the rough rocks. Here came the challenges. Here came the obstacles. Here came the opposition. And some of it, you know, that the Lord allowed just to strengthen my faith. And others, it was maybe just attacks of the enemy just being a big bully. Just because he wants to. wants to destroy us, of course, discourage us. But, you know, it doesn't really change throughout life. If you're going to live for the Lord, and if you strive, if your number one goal is to make it to heaven, guess what? You're going to be opposed. Sometimes, maybe not consistently. It may feel that way and appear that way, but you will be opposed. Yes, there will be the mountaintop experiences, and there will be those times where it seems like you're just sailing on with victory. And the Lord will bless you through that time, and that's to gain the courage and confidence and faith in the Lord some more. But then here come the tough times again. You're down in the valley, you're in the battle, in the heat of the battle. But through it all, there is a plan of salvation. And this plan of salvation is not just to save you one time, so to speak. Even though, yes, it is an instantaneous work and you are saved from sin and God forgives you and that burden is lifted and you feel light as a feather. Yes, that does take place. I want to tell you something. Salvation is a continual process as well. Because God wants to save you out of some other troubles in the future, you see. God wants to deliver you from the snares of the enemy in the future. And you may have your foot, so to speak, right on the edge of that snare, right on the edge of that trap. And it just about triggers it, and the Lord lifts you up. But I want to tell you something. You're not able to discern those things on your own. It takes a faith and a confidence in the Lord. And that's where King Hezekiah, he found himself in quite a challenge here. In 2 Chronicles, the 31st chapter, this is where this part begins. 2 Chronicles 31. And actually, we'll back up some in the 30th chapter. You see, King Hezekiah was similar to King Asa. He started to reform the nation. And he, in the 30th chapter, he actually... it says they established a decree to make a proclamation throughout all of Israel. Basically, establishing the truth and the law of the Lord again and going through the temple and claiming the feast of the Lord and all those things. Trying to reform Judah and everything. And here in Jerusalem it says... they're having the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it goes on. And they stood in their place, and they're performing these feasts. And through verse 19 says, that prepares his heart to seek God, and the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification. I'm sorry, let's go on here. I'm not finding the right verse here. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confessions to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep their 7 days. So it goes on here, basically, here, 26th verse. So there's great joy in Jerusalem. So here we have King Hezekiah. Things are going well. God's blessing him. And he's again reforming. And there's other verses we could read some in 2 Kings. Talks about some of what King Hezekiah did. But it's one of those things where the devil saw what King Hezekiah was doing. They were happy in the Lord. They were rejoicing. They were performing these feasts and obeying the laws, and everything was going great. But then came the challenge. It says in chapter 31, it says, now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the city of Judah and break down the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars of all Judah and Benjamin. Then all the children of Israel returned, and every man to his possession and to their own cities. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after the courses, every man according to his servant, the priests and Levites. And he goes on, and And he says that, moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So again, he's continuing to reform, bringing some law and order back. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. So here we have, now the people are just giving to the Lord. God is blessing them, and they're happy in the Lord, and then they start giving of their increase and how the Lord has blessed them. They start giving back to the Lord, and God's pleased with that. And then it goes on. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them and brought in the offerings and tithes and dedicated things faithfully. Then it goes on. Let's read verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. Now let's just stop there for a moment. You remember the story of Job? What did it say? If you turn to read that, well, we won't turn there, but it says Job was perfect and upright and feared the Lord and eschewed evil. And God had blessed Job abundantly. Job had not just the temporal blessings, but he had a big family and everything was going great in his life. But he was pleasing the Lord. But who came along and opposed this? None other than the devil himself. He came walking along, and it's like he was walking about throughout the earth, and he found someone. He found this guy called Job. He's like, what about this guy? And God said, yeah, he's serving me. He's not serving you. He's just and upright, excuse evil, and I've blessed him. And you know, Satan said, well, let me just touch his life. And God said, okay, you can do that, the things around him, but you can't take his life. So we know the story of Job, and that's what Satan did. He lost his children, he lost his home. He lost all his livestock. Then he lost his health. I mean, everything was against him. And then his own wife says, well, why don't you just curse God and die? Job had nothing else. No one else. No one to stand beside him and encourage him. And no doubt Satan's sitting back there going, I think I got him. I think I got him. I want to tell you something. God did not forget Job and his affliction. You know, God did not forget King Hezekiah. We're going to read here in just a moment what took place. But Satan came to oppose the good things that King Hezekiah was establishing. The people were happy. They were giving to the Lord. God was blessing. And here it says, and he prospered. Everything that Hezekiah was doing was prospering. Just like with King Asa that we talked about before. God was blessing him. God was prospering him. But the devil wasn't happy with that. And the devil opposed that. You know, the same is going to happen in our lives as well. When we make that commitment to the Lord, and we dedicate our life to the Lord, and we make those vows and those promises to God that I'm going to serve you no matter what, come what may. You know what? Satan hears that promise too. And Satan listens to our prayers as well. And he's sitting back and saying, you know what? What if I touch this and take this from you? Or what if I take that from you? And what if I oppose you over here? And what if I oppose you over there? Lord, help us. You realize, and this is something I've tried to encourage the young people with. You know, if the devil's not fighting you, then you probably don't have much good to offer the Lord. In other words, if the devil's not fighting you, then you must not be fighting the devil very hard. You must not be living for the Lord to the level we should be. In other words, Satan's going to oppose you if you're opposing him. And if you're opposing him, that means you're serving the Lord, you see. And that's exactly what was happening, again, back with the children of Israel. When they were living in sin, living in Egypt, they were servants to their masters. But God delivered them that they might serve Him. And all along the way, Satan was even opposing them. But there was some, the remnant that made it through, that made it all the way through the wilderness and the land of Canaan. But here with King Hezekiah, you consider things are going well, not much opposition, made some commitments to the Lord and some vows to the Lord. And then here we have in the very next chapter, chapter 32. It says, "And after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself." Now let's just stop for a moment and consider what's going on here. You know, one thing I'm thankful for is God knows how to prepare us for the battle. You realize what God was doing? It says here, after these things, the establishment thereof, God allowed King Hezekiah to get established in Him, in the Lord. You see what I'm saying? That God knows that, especially when we're just newly saved and we're just babes in Christ, we can't handle very much. And God knows that. That's why He blesses us abundantly sometimes. Towards just like, oh wow, this is wonderful serving God. Because He knows our faith is still small. And we can't handle too much pressure. But those that have lived for the Lord 10, 15, 20, 40, 50 years, you think Satan's happy with that? No. You know, that's why the older saints have said, when they're close to the end of their life, and they will say, pray for me, and that I make it, you know, with victory in the end. And we're thinking, well, you've lived for the Lord for 50 years. But you know what they say? No, Satan is fighting me harder than he ever has. And why is that? Because they're fixing to win their crown. They're fixing to make it to the land of Canaan, so to speak. Even though we consider that as sanctification. But yet we can consider this for this aspect, that it's heaven, that they're fixing to win the victory. They're fixing to cross over the other side and win the prize. And Satan is opposing it every channel and every way he can. And that's why the older saints say, pray for my faith. Pray for me that I make it to the other side safely, you see. Now that's what King Hezekiah was faced with here. God allowed him a space of time to get established. And then here comes the opposition. Then here comes the test. King Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and encamped against the fenced cities. Let's just think for a moment here again. It wasn't like King Sennacherib was just going to come and just kind of tantalize him for a while, for a few days, a couple weeks, and then I'm going to leave. All right, that's good enough. Leave you alone. No, he came and encamped. You know, that's what Satan tries to do sometimes too. Even though we just continually keep fighting, keep pressing, and the Lord will bless us and encourage us, and then here's more opposition, and more opposition, and more resistance over here, Satan is not happy. And sometimes he'll just camp out for a long time, just to see if he can defeat. You know, Job, I cannot imagine, I've never been in that predicament that he was in. And I don't wish it upon anyone. But to truly have everyone turn against you and be afflicted in your body and lose everything, yet he held his integrity all the way through it. It was as if the enemy came and just encamped against him for years. So I want us to take courage here this morning. Through our afflictions, through our trials, even though it may seem like they last for years, I want to tell you, there's victory on the other side if we persevere. And God is also encouraging us along the way to prepare for that. In the times of victory and rejoicing, let's remember, you know, life is not always that. It's not always shouting for leaps of joy and victory. Because real life brings us some disappointments. Real life brings us some failures. Real life brings us heartache, grief, and all those things that's like, Lord, I want to tell you something. King Hezekiah, we think he's being tested here at the beginning, but it continued. Let's read what happened here. And when King Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountain which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains. It goes on, and they strengthened himself and built up the wall that was broken and raised up the towers and another wall without and repaired Millo and the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance and set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So we have here King Hezekiah. He's faced with this opposition. But what does he do? He's like, all right, let's continue to prepare for this. Let's make ourselves be just like King Asa, just the same story, basically. He's like, well, let's not just sit back and whine and complain about it and say, oh, this is, you know, but let's just get active and let's see what we can do for the Lord here. And he built up the walls and they made weapons and raised up the towers and repaired different places and was active. Preparing for battle. Well, and then King Hezekiah spoke to the people, be strong and courageous. And then what did he tell them? He said, for there be more with us than with him. He's like, he doesn't realize who he's fighting against here. But I want to tell you something. That didn't stop the enemy. Just because he's encouraging the people and encouraging himself in the Lord, and they're building up all these things, that didn't intimidate the enemy. The enemy was still going to come. He was encamped there. He's going to tantalize them for quite a while. The enemy wasn't through. Well, I want to turn and read some verses in 2 Kings, continuing this story. It bounces back and forth here. In 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, in 2 Kings 18, let's pick up verses 19 and 20. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king. So Rabshakeh was a spokesman for the king here. He says, speak to the king, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Now notice what's happening here. It was already established that King Hezekiah and the enemy knew that King Hezekiah was trusting in their God. See, the enemy knows where we stand. The enemy knows where our confidence is at. And when our confidence is in the Lord, that's when he's going to contest us. When our confidence is in the devil or our own ways, he's not going to challenge us. It's like, oh, just go on. It's fine. But where confidence and trust is in the Lord, that's when the enemy says, okay, well, this is what happened here. He says, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust? That thou rebellest against me. You know, talk about arrogant, and that's exactly what's in the side margin of my Bible here. It's arrogance. This guy is full of arrogance. He's like, how dare you trust in someone else and your God? He's like, I'll show you. Well, it goes on here. Let's read verses 28 through 30. It says, then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. So now he's saying, don't believe what your king is telling you. He's telling all the people this, all right? And trying to intimidate him, he's like, don't believe what your king is telling you. There's no way he can defeat us, our great king, Sennacherib. There's no way. And then he goes on, and he talks about, verse 33, have any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Syria? So then he starts tuning his own horn. Well, guess what my king, this great king of Assyria, Sennacherib, guess all the different kingdoms and lands we've conquered. And he lists all of them here. And he's like, and none of their gods saved them. You see? Have you ever had the devil tell you that before? Saying, you know, why are you even trying? Why, you know, look at all these others out there that have failed. I want to tell you something. This is a battle between me and the devil. It's not someone else. So you understand what I'm saying? I have to, as the scripture says, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can't look upon others and try to work out their salvation. We have enough fighting to do right here, within ourselves, to beat down self, you see, because self is our greatest enemy. And that's what was happening here. King Hezekiah was encouraging the people. He had faith and confidence in the Lord and trying to encourage the rest of them to have faith and confidence in the Lord. And here comes the enemy, not just setting in array all his equipment and all his soldiers. That wasn't enough. He's like, now I'm going to start talking to you all and trying to discourage you. And he spoke to them in their own language, he said. You know, that gets pretty close to home. Because that's a little weapon that the devil tries to use on us. He tries to use our own language, our own personality, our own little ways, our own little quirks, and say, you know what? It's okay. That's just who you are. You can't help it. You see what I'm saying? Giving room for self. Giving a foothold for the enemy. Trying to say, well, God doesn't have enough grace for that. That's just who you are. That's who you've always been. That's who you always will be. Is that true? You see, that's where the enemy likes to get in these tight little places and say, nah. You know, start talking in our own language, something that, yeah, well, you know, and start listening to him and reasoning with him. You know, I think maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just trying too hard, you know, and we start backing up. You see what I'm saying? And then we start believing these lies when they're told often enough. That's what it was said of Hitler. You know, you speak a lie often enough, folks will start believing it. And that's what the devil does to us. Just, he's the father of lies. That's who the Satan is. He's the father of lies. And that's what King Sennacherib told his folks in Rabshakeh to come and speak to the people. Say, in other words, try to bring defeat before a sword was even drawn. You see what I'm saying? That's just like the devil. He wants us to get scared and intimidated before we really start fighting, so to speak. Just come up and say, oh, there's nothing to it. I want to tell you something. It's encouraging to know that God knows where we are at. God sees the enemy. And here's the thing. God heard these words that he was saying. Basically, they were blaspheming God. That's exactly what they were doing. And God heard that. And God did not forget that. He's like, whoa. That's King Hezekiah you're talking about. That's my people you're talking about. And you're poking fun at what they're doing and their faith and confidence in me. You see what I'm saying? That got God's attention. I want us to be encouraged here this morning. When Satan opposes you, and I've heard it said before. I remember Brother Ed Wilson brought this out. It's when the attacks of the enemy and the battles, it's like it just keeps escalating and escalating. Then that means the greater the victory. The greater the battle, the greater the victory. The greater glory God gets. And that's exactly what was happening with King Asa. They went out and actually fought him. And God defeated him. And God got the glory. But it wasn't quite to the level this was. We had the enemy coming up and mocking God and His people and the king. And blaspheming God, saying, there ain't nothing to your God. And God's saying, oh, now you got my attention. Well, that wasn't the end of it yet. Something else took place. There was a letter sent. In the 19th chapter, it says in Hezekiah, 14th verse, received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Basically, this letter was saying all what we were just saying before. Why are you trusting in your God? Remember who all we've defeated out here? Look how mighty and strong we are. Why don't y'all just give up? Just lay it down. Just cave. Just give in. And reminding in this letter, you know, of all the nations they've defeated. You know, Satan will do that to us sometimes. He'll bring things to our minds of something that really does intimidate us, possibly. Something that we're afraid of. Oh, if I have to go through that trial, I don't know that I can make it through that. That's what Satan will do. He's like, yeah, you probably won't. You see what I'm saying? He plays with our minds and gets us all worked up and fear. And like, well, I don't think if I trust the Lord that far, then that's too bad. I can't do it. No, there's no way. You see, he wants to defeat us before there's even a battle. You see what I'm saying? Just a true bully, intimidation. That's all he's doing. Just a big bluff. And that's what this letter was. He sends this letter. He said, now read this. So King Hezekiah receives this letter. And he read it. And Hezekiah noticed what he did. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. And spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made the heaven and earth. All these other gods are talking about, they didn't do anything. Of course, they didn't protect their own people because they're not the true and living God. And he's reminding the Lord, this is who You are. This is where our faith and confidence is in. And you see this letter that has been written. They're blaspheming You, God. That's basically He's reminding the Lord, You're the... And you see what they're saying about You? And He said, Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. He said it right where it was at. You know, when it comes to us dealing with the Lord, be open and honest with Him. If there's something that really does have you, if it has you scared and afraid and you're over here shivering in the corners, oh Lord, I don't, just tell the Lord, Lord, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. And yes, I am scared, but I know who You are. And I remember the times that You delivered us and Your people out of the hand of the enemy. And You are the God that created the heaven and the earth. He says, of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria has destroyed all these other nations and lands. So let's be honest. Just tell the Lord, yes, Lord, I know there's some things that have happened. And I know there's been some disappointments, some failures along the way. Maybe of myself or of someone else, and the devil's using that as an example. Just say, well, that'll be you too. And say, you know what, Lord? You know all these things. Yeah, some of those things have happened. But yet, and they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. But he's saying, but yet, Lord, You are still the one and only true God. And he's saying, now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech Thee, save Thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." You know, I take great comfort in that. That all King Hezekiah had to do. Notice it says he went up to the house of the Lord. He knew where God was. You know, that should challenge us that we have our place in the Lord. The place, the secret place where we meet Him. Yes, we meet Him at worship service here, in a public service. But there needs to be that private place, our private connection with God, where no one else can go, our private little prayer closet, wherever it is, we need to have contact with God. And that's what King Hezekiah had. He knew the source of his strength. He knew the one that was going to calm his fears, and he knew the one that was going to believe his report, his prayer, his plea. And he came before the Lord open and honest and said, "Here it is. I'm not hiding anything from you, Lord. You see the report. You see what they've said. They blasphemed you. You see the challenges, the threats, the bullies, the intimidations. You see the fears of the people. I've tried to calm their fears, but there's only so much I can do. Lord, you see this." And they're encamped outside the walls. And they're walking around shouting things to us. "We don't know what to do, Lord." He spread it before the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord is really what that amounted to. You know what? He could have easily shouted back to the messenger and said, "All right, we give. You can take over." You know, King Hezekiah could have done that. But I'm so thankful he didn't. He was another one of those examples of someone that went all the way. Humbled themselves. Put themselves in jeopardy. Made themselves vulnerable, so to speak. But it was to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? He didn't make himself vulnerable to the enemy and walk up there and go, "You know what? What you said is right. I read your letter. Man, you're right. You guys are strong, you know." He wasn't giving them all that credit. He went to the Lord and said, "Lord, this is my concern. This is where I'm at." You know, that's what we should do. Tell our troubles, our worries to the Lord. Tell our fears to the Lord. Tell our griefs and our sorrows. Tell them to the Lord. He will hear us because He heard King Hezekiah. And now let's see what happened. On down here. In the 32nd verse. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And shall not come into this city, saith the Lord, for I will defend this city, to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake." You know what? The Lord took up his cause. He said, "Okay, I see the dilemma here. I see the challenge, and I accept the challenge." God said, "All right, I'll defend this city." In other words, you won't have to go out and fight. I'll fight for you. And that's exactly what happened. But see, it was a little different than with King Asa. King Asa, God told him to go. "You go out and chase them, and I'll deliver you." And that's exactly, he obeyed. King Asa went. And the confidence in the Lord was there. His trust was in the Lord all the way. And here in this situation, God said, "Okay, I'll take care of this. It is bigger than you. I read the letter. I saw when that letter was written." God already knew about that letter before King Hezekiah got it. You see? God heard those words that his messenger was shouting in their own language, trying to intimidate. God heard all that. God saw it all. And God heard that blasphemy against himself. And he was not... God is a jealous God. Well, that night, God delivered him. Verse 35. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Thank the Lord. God did it. They didn't have to raise a finger. All they had to do is humble themselves before the Lord. Throw themselves at God's mercy. That's what King Hezekiah did. He did all he could do, and God had to do the rest. And surely God did do the rest, because it wasn't even over after that. So King Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. So some of them escaped and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of his God, his own sons killed him. You know, isn't that how the enemy works? He defeats himself every time. When we throw ourselves on the mercies of God and our trust and confidence is Him, we've done everything we know to do, we spread our petition out before the Lord, the letter we've received, the threats, whatever it is, we spread it out before the Lord and say, Lord, here's where I'm at. I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm not running from you. I'm not running from the enemy. It's just, here it is, Lord. The Lord will take our cause. But you see, there was preparation for this before that. He was preparing the people and himself. They were giving to the Lord. They were happy in the Lord. God was prospering them. They were building the walls, building all those things. But in the end, God took care of them on His own. You know, He'll do that for you and I, because there are some battles that are too big for us. In fact, all of them are. But there are times, like with King Asa, he'll say, get up and fight. Go out, chase them. And we have to go. Do what the Lord tells us, or we'll lose the battle. And we go. And then there's other times, it's like, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's what he did here. He's like, you guys don't have to do anything. I'll take care of them for you. And that's exactly what God did. Let's sing a couple of verses of the song, number 196. I got a couple more scriptures before we close here. Number 196, let's sing verses 1 and 2. Verse 3 says, a wall of salvation upon every side, strong bulwarks presents to the foe, and in every conflict, though sorely he's tried, faith's shield will ward off every blow. I want to remind us of this first verse that we sang. It says, how safe is the soul that abides in the Lord. You see, that was the situation with Job. His soul was safe in the Lord. Everything else was touched and taken away from him. The enemy touched those things. But how safe is the soul? It says, the title of the song, that wicked one toucheth him not. In other words, he can't touch our soul. As long as our faith and confidence is in the Lord, the walls of salvation, that's what I want to close with here this morning, will be our protection. I want to read just a few verses here. In Psalms 48, verses 12 and 13, walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. It's talking about the New Jerusalem, the Church of God. They can consider these magnificent walls of salvation. It's not us. We're not the walls of salvation. It's what God has built around us. It's the protection of those that trust in His hedge round about us, you see. And here it is in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, another prophecy. It says, in that day, that means the new dispensation, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. You see, that's what God was establishing with the children of Israel way back here. And all these kings, the good kings that were serving Him and living for Him, He was proving to them over and over, salvation is really simple. I'll give you an example. Salvation is as simple as this. We've heard Jesus being described as being our Savior. And truly, He is our Savior. So how does that work? Well, we'll give you an example. Someone that's drowning. And those of you that have ever experienced that near death experience, which I have, drowning, the process of drowning is something you'll never forget. It's your whole life flashes before you and you feel so helpless. You're like, I'm doing everything I can and I cannot get back up to the top. And your lungs, your mouth starts filling up with water. You're losing oxygen. You're starting to sink and you can't. It's a helpless feeling. But you know, they say those that are drowning, they'll kick and fight. But I look at it this way. Consider someone that's thrashing around out in the water. Maybe someone's fallen out of a boat. And someone's there in the boat. And they see the person out there. You could say a Savior is someone that maybe they can't perhaps jump out there and physically take your place. But they'll throw you a life vest. Our little lifesaver circle thing you see on the boats. They throw you something. You grab a hold of that. You could say those would be the promises of God. And it's not trusting in someone else. You're grasping those promises that God's going to protect you. God's going to save you. But you have to hang on. And they reel you in. They pull you in that, yes, they are your Savior. Or a lifeguard. Someone that's actually up on the little ladder thing and they're looking out. And I've actually seen them in action before. And they see someone out there that's drowning. They run out there and they drag him in. That's a Savior. Someone that saves you out of something you can't save yourself out of. You understand what I'm saying? It's very simple, but that's what a Savior does. When you're helpless, there's nothing you can do. And they give you a lifeline. Or they give you a helping hand. Whatever it is. And they pull you out of what you're drowning in. You're drowning in sin. And they deliver you out of that. And it says, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. The children of Israel didn't understand it back then. But there was, God was laying a foundation for His plan of salvation to send His Son, the Savior, building up this wall of salvation. You see, all these laws and prophecies and everything was building up these walls of salvation that if we would actually believe in those things and trust in His promises. And that, yes, the promises and the prophecies in the Old Testament, they're true. And the New Testament, they're true. They work. And if a person can believe that, yes, Your Word works. Yes, Your promises work. Yes, Your laws make sense. And we have our faith and confidence in those things. And we hide behind this, say, Lord, I believe. And we hide behind those walls of salvation. Say, Lord, just like King Hezekiah, Lord, I can't do anything else. I'm just back here behind the walls of the city. Allow God to do His part then. And He will do His part. That's the walls of salvation. It's not something we can do on our own. It's something God has to do. God will take our part. God will say, okay, you've done your best. I've watched you. I've heard your prayers. I've heard your cries. I understand your fears. Now just stay behind the walls. If you walk outside of those walls of salvation, their protection won't be there. And here's the other part. Let me read these last couple of verses. Isaiah 60 and 11. Therefore thy gates shall be continually, shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. You know what this is talking about? He's saying, God is strong enough. You stay behind those walls, leave the gates open, and allow the unsaved, the Gentiles, those that are serving these other gods, open the gates, allow them to come in and receive this wonderful plan of salvation. And I'm strong enough. He's saying the Lord is strong enough to keep the gates. He's not going to let the enemy come in. With King Hezekiah, guess what? The enemy did not make it inside those walls of salvation. You see what I'm saying? God kept the gates. God kept the walls of salvation. There was nothing, anything the enemy could do. Not even a dart made it over. God protected them. But they had to stay inside His walls of salvation. The walls of protection. And the gates are open, allowing those that need the safety, that need the salvation, come in and be saved. But here's the other side of it. If you choose to leave the walls of salvation, you can leave, but you will not be protected. You'll become with the camp of the Assyrians, and they were destroyed. So it behooves us, stay within the walls of salvation, where safety and peace is, where God's presence is, where He will protect us. We walk outside that hedge, we're on our own. We walk through that gate, past the wall of salvation. It's like, nope, that's too much for me. There's more outside the walls than are in here. The devil will tell you that. But what did King Hezekiah say? No, there be more with us, you see. God works in mysterious ways. God uses the minorities. God uses the remnant. God uses the small forces. We spoke the other day about Gideon and his small little band of 300 soldiers. Defeated the thousands of the Midianites because Gideon was on God's side. So as long as we're on the inside of these walls of salvation, God will protect us, God will save us, and God will defeat the enemy. Isn't that a wonderful plan, this plan of salvation? It's not by our works. It's not by our words, all the fancy things we can say, all the fancy things we can do. It's on the power of God. His ability to keep the walls of salvation there. And our ability to continue trusting Him. Keep our confidence in Him. Keep humble before Him. And saying, Lord, I can't handle this letter. I can't handle this persecution here. I can't handle that. But You can, Lord. And God will take our cause. God will take our side. And defend us and deliver us to give us victory. But let's all stay inside the walls of salvation. That's where true safety is. That's where the peace that passeth understanding. Because the world may look upon us and say, man, you know, this has happened, that's happened, and they're still, they got a testimony for the Lord? Yes. How can they, the peace that passeth understanding, because we're hiding behind the walls of salvation. God has taken our part, and God will fight the battle for us. Let's all be encouraged here this morning. Stay inside the walls of salvation. Don't leave. Trust in the Lord all the way through everything. And in the end, as I sang earlier, it'll be worth it all. When we make it to the end, it was like, you know what? Those things will seem as nothing. The trials, the enemy encamped for days and weeks and years. And the Lord took my cause, gave me victory. What a blessing to serve the Lord. What a blessing to stay inside the walls of salvation. You pray for me.